Hello and welcome again to worship. Thank you for being with us this Sunday. You know, realtors say the three most important things in buying or selling property is location, location, and location. Today's gospel, Jesus has a little location-based experience himself. You see, he's going to Jerusalem, and the scriptures say he set his face towards Jerusalem. What does this mean? It doesn't just mean he decided he was going to take a day trip and go to Jerusalem for a couple of days and see the sights. No, what it means is that he's now set his mind on concluding his ministry in the city of Jerusalem, that he is intent on now making Jerusalem the center of the last of his ministry. And so as he's traveling through the countryside, his disciples are, of course, doing all the preparation work they normally do. And in doing so, they enter into a city, which is a Samaritan city. Now, of course, the story of the Good Samaritan, which Jesus told as a way to sort of demonstrate that anybody can be good, even a Samaritan, has sort of left us all feeling like the Samaritans are the good guys. But of course, in Jesus' day, the Samaritans were largely considered the villains of whatever story might be told. And you might say, what makes them the villain? What is awful about them that their particular way of life makes them absolutely repugnant to the Jews? And the answer is simple. Location. You see, once upon a time, the people of Israel split. And they split over, well, what seems to us a fairly silly argument. Specifically an argument about geography. When God determined that he was going to put his holy self in a temple on the earth, he gave specific directions as to a mountaintop where they were to build the temple. Well, in the interpretation of that location, a certain group of Jews who come to be known as Samaritans said, "We don't think it's Mount Jerusalem at all. We actually think it's Mount Gerizim. Everything should be on Mount Gerizim. We don't think it should be over here on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. We think the proper place to build the temple is here." Now, there's a lot of reason why that is, and we can get in a long conversation, but it's not important at the moment. What's important is that they had built their own religious institution on top of Mount Gerizim, and in doing so, they'd built their own temple. And this is where they offered worship, and this is where they offered sacrifices. And for all intents and purposes, this was the center of the Jewish religion for Jews who happened to be Samaritans. Now, you might say, well, is that big of a deal? It's just a different temple location. Kind of is a big deal. And the reason that it's a big deal was that the Jews who lived in Jerusalem and had Temple Mount, and had the temple on top of that mountain, said, God is uniquely here in this place with us. God is here, and for lack of a better term, God belongs to us, is what they're saying. Samaritans, on the other hand, say, no. You completely misunderstood God's directions. You've got the wrong mountain. God is in our temple on top of Mount Gerizim, because God said this was the right mountain and he lives here. And so for all intents and purposes, what the Samaritans are saying is God lives with us. God belongs to us, not you. So we have these two groups of people who do not differ in their interpretation of scriptures in any other fashion. It's not like the one says, well, there's 12 commandments, and the other one says there are 10. Or it's not like one side says, well, Abraham wasn't important, and the other one says he was. No. They agree on every other element. It's just they have this debate about location. Where is the temple supposed to be? And in knowing where the temple's supposed to be, where is God? And this is what makes this particular story so salient. Because Jesus walks into the city of the Samaritans. You know, the place where they were convinced God was. And they don't want to have anything to do with him because he is planning on concluding his ministry in Jerusalem. And since he seems focused and fixed on Jerusalem, that means he's not going to be focused and fixated on Mount Gerizim. And so they think that he isn't worthy of their attention. Which is insane if you think about the fact that Jesus is God. And so the thing that they've been arguing and debating about the whole time is God on the mountain here? Is God on the mountain there? We have God. You have God. You don't have God. We have God. This thing that they've been debating the whole time, God literally shows up on their doorstep and wants to engage with them. And they're so busy trying to convince their neighbors that they have God and their neighbors don't have God, that they actually miss engaging with God. This is why in the rest of the story, Jesus has these very odd conversations. Someone comes up and says, hey, I want to follow you. And Jesus says, I don't know if you want to do that. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. I don't have a home. You probably won't like it. And then someone else, Jesus says, come and follow me. And the man says, well, I'd love to come and follow you, but I need to have a funeral for my father first. That seems like a very reasonable request. Jesus says, you know what? Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me now. And you might say, why did Jesus say something so callous? Because the next guy comes and Jesus says, come and follow me. And he says, great, let me just go say goodbye to a few people first. And Jesus says, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God if you look back. Why is Jesus being so insistent? The answer is very simple. His time on earth is now very, very short. He is going to go to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, he knows he's going to die. He's going to die on the cross. It's now or never. When God comes in your midst on a mission of absolute urgency and says, come and follow me, you don't have time to do anything else. You drop what you're doing and you move on. Otherwise, like the individuals who had excuses for why they can't follow Jesus right now, good, perfectly rational excuses. And unlike the Samaritans who literally had Jesus walk into their community and were too busy arguing about geography to actually notice, we are called to be a people who see God in our midst, who hear God's call, who don't make excuses, who understand that there's an urgency to God's word, his will, and his plan for our lives. When I say that there's an urgency for his will, his word, and his plan, what I mean is that it takes precedent. That whatever our human will is, or society's will, or government's will, whatever will we may come up against, may have perfectly reasonable reasons for existing, may have great excuses and great explanations for why they are of value. But if they are against the will of God, then we have to put the will of God ahead of everything else, because that is the urgency of God's call. God's word is the same way. We may live in a world full of wisdom and things that have been written and thought and decided and figured out that are really, really fascinating. But that doesn't change the fundamental fact that God's word takes precedent. That if God's word says something that conflicts with something the world has decided, then we have a duty to follow God's word and not the world. God's word, God's will, these things lead us to God's plan. Because God has a plan for your life and my life. And I have a plan for my life, and you have a plan for your life. We all make plans. We make plans every single day. But sometimes God reaches down into our lives and has another plan for it. And he sends us on a different direction, because God's plans supersede our own. So in today's gospel lesson, Jesus encounters these people who have perfectly good reasons for not doing what it is that Jesus wants them to do if Jesus were just another person. But Jesus isn't just another person. He's God incarnate. And so none of those reasons actually are good at all. We do the same thing in our lives. When we hear God's word, we experience God's will, we understand God's plan, sometimes imperfectly, but we do understand that God has a plan. We have to be careful not to be Samaritans or the people that Jesus meets along the way. We have to be careful not to make excuses, because the urgency that Jesus gave that command to follow was based on the fact that he was about to die on the cross. And he wanted them to be a part of that experience. Literally the most important thing to ever happen in the history of humanity, he invited them to come and do, and it had to be split second. We also are invited by God to do all sorts of incredible things in his kingdom. We have to be listening, we have to be aware, and we have to be following.